Praise the Lord. I thank God for the opportunity to be bringing this message to you. How many of us believe that we are unrestrained? How many of us truly believe that we are unrestrained? Hallelujah. I'd like us to pray. Everlasting King of Glory, we thank you for your word that is coming to us. We ask that you grant us understanding. Holy Spirit, I ask that you speak through me and be glorified even as we listen to your word in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So when I was preparing this message and thinking of, you know, what will fall under the theme, now the Holy Spirit directed me to Daniel 11 verse 32b. Please, can we open Daniel 11 32b? Daniel 11, 32. We'll just be reading the B part of it. Can we read it together? The B part. We're going to start from the people who know their God. One, two, three, go. Who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Hallelujah. In next 15 minutes, I'll be bringing you a message that says, engaging the God kind of confidence. Hallelujah. Now, when I was thinking about confidence, there were two definitions that struck me. The first is the feeling or belief that one can have faith in or rely on someone or something. The feeling or belief that one can have faith in or rely on someone or something. Now, the second definition is a state of being certain about the truth of something. Did we get that? The second definition, a state of being certain about the truth of something. Now, I'd like us to reflect on something for 1 minute. And my question is, where does your confidence lie? Where does your confidence lie? Now, it's very important to have faith in something. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about a man called Daniel in the, you know, preceding chapters, you know, from chapter 6 and all. It talks about a man called Daniel. There was something very important about the man called Daniel. The Bible records that there was an excellent spirit upon him. How many of us believe that more than anything in this world, God wants us to be ambassadors for him? He wants us to be on the forefront of everything. Now, when we say the glory of God is upon someone, what does it mean? It means that the person is, you know, is doing things that, you know, you just have to say, wow, there's something about this person. Hallelujah. Now, very quickly, I'm going to be giving us four points on how to engage the God kind of confidence. The very first one is you must first believe that there is God, and you must be confident in believing that he exists and he has a plan for you. Hallelujah. Now, if you open to Romans 8 verse 31, it says that if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? The second one is you must continually strive to learn to trust in God. You must continually strive to learn to trust in God. Now, the funny part about trusting God is most times things don't go according to plan. And that's because man always has this, you know, he always has this idea that at some point when God is planning, we too are planning plan B for in case, you know, plan A doesn't work. Or most times, even after we've told God, you know, I'm relying on you to do something, we've already defined God, so this is how I want this thing to happen. Hallelujah. Now, continue to learn, learning to trust God is a process. Having learned, in the process of still learning it, one thing I've noted, or one thing that has been very striking for me, is that God always has a plan. And his plan is way bigger than what we can even imagine. Man is limiting to think that we could just put God into one really small tube and say, okay, God, this is how far you can go. And that's where our problem lies, and that's where we always get frustrated, thinking that we could define what God should do for us. Now, the next one is to speak the word concerning your situation. Jeremiah 1 verse 9 tells us he has put his word in our mouths. Now, how many of us believe in the word of God? Not because we go to church, but how many of us have felt the manifestation of the word, if I should say it like that? How many of us have felt the word work for us? Now, I was reading something and it said scientists, they did an experiment and they put two glasses of water, all right? They put two glasses of water. The first glass of water, what was in it? Believe me, this thing is very interesting. It was really interesting. Yes, this is it. They put two glasses of water. They put maybe, I think it was a plant or something in it. And then for one glass of water, they were playing secular song, rock. And how many of us know there's this guy that sang "I'm on the Highway to Hell"? I think the guy eventually died, you know, but believe me, he sang it, so he expected. I think those were the kind of songs they were playing. And then they found out that over a period of that time, the plants in that water died. Now, they brought another glass of water, same experiment, and then they played all kinds of spiritual songs, gospel songs, and then they saw the song blossom. Now, what I could get from that is whatever we fill our hearts with, whatever we fill our body with, whatever we put into ourselves. That was one of the things that, you know, taught me about not listening to secular songs. But of course, I have siblings that jam every Saturday morning, so most times I find myself saying, oh, something. I'm like, what? How did I even know this song existed? But still, I trained myself, you know, to be very deliberate about the kind of, not just the kind of songs, the kind of information that I'm taking in into myself. Now, the important part of this is what you have inside is essentially what you bring out. So the question is, what are you putting inside of yourself? Are you putting the word of God in? I remember I had a nanny growing up. My parents weren't strong Christians then. And then there was a time I was doing something, or maybe she asked me to do something, and I said, no, I can't do it. And then she said, Philippians 4:13, I can do all. That was the first Bible verse I learned. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then she even taught me a song. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Children, do we know the song? Yes. And that was the song she taught me. That was the first Bible verse. And can you believe that even without understanding, when I got to school and then I was struggling with things, in my spirit, I would still say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And guess what? I found that after saying it over a period of time, I could then do those things. Even till now, I have a testimony. I had a project during my undergrad. I was the last person to submit a project topic. If I got so bad, because by that time, my lecturers were already asking questions. The next thing, my HOD called my mom, thinking maybe there was a problem that I hadn't submitted my project topic. Now, the thing was, I didn't know what exactly I wanted to do. I didn't know what exactly, and I was praying about it, but I just felt that, you know, I couldn't get answers. So my supervisor then just said, you know what, he was working on a project, and then he said, you could do this as your project. And then I was so frustrated and all, and I couldn't do it. So after praying, the Holy Spirit directed me to a particular topic that even defines what exactly my purpose on earth is to do. And he said, you need to work with this. Now, it's one thing to get a word. How many of us believe that thing? Now, it's another thing to run with it. So I got the topic. I started reading about it. Nguanu starts. There was no way I could start. Nothing was coming to my head. All the information that I learned, in fact, all the people I went to meet some professors, even outside my university to discuss, still, I did not know what to do. And by this time, you know, all those, your course mates that by then they were telling you, I'm in chapter 3, you know, those funny people. And I'd not even started chapter 1. You know, and then they'll be using you for example. Don't be like Ndaguba. Ndaguba has not started a project. Ndaguba will have extra year. And then there'll be people like, how the mighty have fallen. The people that think they are smart, we shall know them. We had all sorts of that, or, you know, those kinds of different people. And then there was a day I prayed, and then I remembered what my nanny told me, and I said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The long and short of it is I had the third best project in the university. That's one. Two, that project had never been done before. And that project, if by God's grace, we're still going to continue with, and we're still going to do a journal on it. Believing and what kind of words you take into your inside yourself is very, very important. Now, even as small things as, oh my God, I feel so stupid. How many of us have really experienced stupidity after making that statement? As in, Ada, I can testify to that. But the truth is, when we make certain statements, you are sending something forth, you know. And then how many of us know that even the words, kind of words we even say, trying to give us those kinds of confidence, you know. I was in a presentation in class during the week, and you know when you've probably read, but somehow you get there and you can't even recognize your slides, and then in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing here? And for like 5 minutes, I was just looking at the lecturer. Hi, it's Baltimore. I was just looking at her, you know, until she said, do you have anything to say? And I just started smiling because clearly she knew that I didn't even know what was on my slides anymore. But that was just because, you know, I was confused and I'd said it out. Now, that's very important for us, you know, to learn today. Even if there's nothing you're going to take, always remember the power of words and the power to say things. Like I quoted in Jeremiah 1 verse 9, it says, I put my words in your mouth. That's an authority that God has given us, that he has already put our words with. We have everything to our full advantage. I've learned to do something. By my bed, I have sticky notes. By my mirror, I have sticky notes, even though my friends feel there are too many sticky notes and too many information for one person. But still, I've learned that waking up and saying those Bible verses regarding every situation I pray for has really helped out. Now, the funny thing is, even when you are discouraged, because the truth is there'll be times you are discouraged, because you've said those Bible verses, somehow those Bible verses come to you and they encourage you. Praise the Lord. Lastly, and very, very important, we must understand the place of the Holy Spirit. We must understand the place of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Now, do you know one thing that restrains people, per se? One thing that holds people captive? There's self-guilt. Now, obviously, there's sin, but, you know, after sin comes self-guilt. Growing up as a Christian, spiritually growing up, one problem I faced is, after you've prayed and asked God for mercy, we don't still feel that. We just feel, you know, if you had a mother like mine that she will beat you even in advance, you just feel like you just have to get proper punishment for whatever. How many of us have experienced that? You don't just want to believe that after you said, God, I'm sorry. Let me tell you, my mom is a very dramatic person. She'll first lecture you, and when you're saying, Mom, I'm sorry, she's still talking, and then you think, okay, this woman has forgiven me. Then she'll say something like, so, go and get the cane. You know, that's how we feel God is. That after we've told him we're sorry, he's still saying, don't worry, just reach the door. Another punishment is waiting for you. You know, the beautiful part of it is God is not like Mrs. Ndaguba. God is not even like any of our parents, you know. Once we say we're sorry, God forgives us. It's like, okay, on to the next. Let's move on. You know, I've heard that. Let's move on. And that's how we should see God, as a father that is loving, is caring, more like Mr. Ndaguba. I wonder if he ever gets angry. But someone that we could always go to every time. The Bible says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally. Someone that gives liberally, do you know how much he has? Are you kidding me? For him to say, if you lack wisdom, if there's something you're believing me for, just ask and you will receive. Now, I'd like to pray. It's really exciting for me to be preaching. Please do a video. My mom should see this. She'll be very... But more seriously, I'd like to pray standing on this authority that's been given unto me. It's something I don't take for granted. I don't know, but I think it's a rare opportunity and blessing to be standing before you. So I'd like us to bow our head, and I'd like to pray for you. Just one simple prayer. I decree that everything that's been holding you back, everything, every issue of self-guilt, whatever it is that is holding you back from doing exploits, even as the Bible has commanded, that is restraining you, that is taking away that confidence that you have in God, that is even asking people, making people ask who your God is, I decree today that the Lord will take it away in the name of Jesus. Thank you for listening.